Hello there. Today is December 19th. Hugh Rogers and I are on our way to the Stonewall Jackson Lake area. It's raining. I suppose a logical place to start would be how long you've farmed here.
Well, we've been here 40 years.
40 years?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you come from before that?
Well, originally dam was proposed on the West Fork River, and we owned the farm over in that area, in the Roanoke area. So around the bush, we heard that they were going to build that dam. So we came over and contacted J.R. Jones, who owned this farm. And it took us about 3 years to talk him into letting us have it. And then, of course, after we bought this one and left over there, they decided to expand the area of the dam onto Big and Little Skin Creek. So that's the story of our coming over here.
At some point, the West Fork River Watershed Association, was that the name of the?
I don't know how old that association really is. Do you?
No. But it seems like we heard Barbara Hebner talking about its beginnings in the
early 70s.
Early 70s, was it?
Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I sometimes wonder if this may not be the right thing to say at this time, but I just sometimes wonder, as I'm looking back now, if we had just accepted the thing maybe 40 years ago, and as I'm looking back over it now at age 75 and having to start my life over, so to speak. I think, personally, I would have been better off 40 years ago to have given up.
Well, we were in Charleston. We went to Washington long before that and had it stopped. And then they started all over again. That was long before the West, before the watershed ever started.
Right.
Long time. I don't remember what. But that was when Smith was governor, wasn't it? Hewlett Smith, wasn't it one that had the short leg or
no,
long leg?
No, that wasn't Smith. Our governor, I can't think. Okie Patterson. And then we had Secretary of Agriculture, who was very much opposed to it because of the great agricultural ground here. J.T. Johnson. And then another man before that, and then it became, McLaughlin, Secretary of Agriculture McLaughlin, and they were openly opposed to it. Their political background didn't enter into it. They just lived up to the fact that they were agricultural people, and they thought it was a disgrace to do what they were doing to this type of land. Then the thing simply became, as I see it, of course they can, others may see it differently, a political thing. Lewis and Harrison County elected the officials, you know, I mean there's a difference now in the way it's proportioned, I think. But at that time, if you got the, if you were pleasing the people of Harrison County by suggesting flood control and water supply, then everybody there didn't go into it to see what they were, you know, what the whole thing was. They just voted for it. So consequently, it started out, I think, with Cleveland Bailey. He received the benefit of it. And then we had Neely and the rest of them, and they simply used it for that, I feel. That's my opinion.
So it was presented in different ways.
That is right.
People.
That is right.
Nobody
And now,
see what the whole thing really was.
And now we have a group in town that's very unpopular to most everyone, I think. Namely, Judge Fury, Adler, and the Democrat paper, which is a handle for the bank in Clarksburg. So how can you whip that if farmers just really can't whip an organization like that? And we have lately had a steady stream of traffic up through this area here since certain segments of this new road are finished. And they will stop and talk to you. And I didn't know that this area was even here, you know. So it really wasn't publicized in the right way. And then the way I feel about it, there were a lot of people talking about it that really didn't have any business talking about it. And maybe if Francine had had a little better help and of a different, maybe we could have gotten along more. Now, I don't know the whole story of Mrs. Hevner's situation. The way they did it wasn't right, but let's face it, we're going to have to go. So, my God isn't telling me to hang in here and be abused like that. He's telling me to get out of here and save my health and my mind. That's what he's telling me. Now, she may be dealing differently. I don't know. But let's face it, but there are so many different angles to resettlement. If you approach people to buy property, they want to know who you are, and then their immediate reaction is, oh, you're in the proposed Stonewall Jackson Dam. Then up goes the price, and... you know, you're just really battered from every angle of it. And
cheapest place they had offered, we could even consider here, is $450,000. And that we would have to spend $150,000 to $200,000 to ready for this. And they're on up to $1 million. One guy wanted $1 million for his land and had to buy his buildings and his old house. How about that? I can name them all to you.
Beautiful farm. You know, just when we came to it, I said, well, this must be it. And but now, and then the government comes up with a pittance for you to go out and replace yourself. And then they don't give you the money. Now, just on the 22nd of December last year, I received a telephone call, and a young man told me he would be there on the 24th to discuss this matter with me. And I said, well, young man, that's the day before Christmas. You're not approaching me the day before Christmas. I mean, he was from the Corps, from the office down here. And I told him he better, I said, may not mean as that's the way I said it, a damn thing to you, but it does to me. And he said just a minute he'd get out his book and see when he could come again. So he said, I think it was the 27th of January, would I see him then? And I said, if the weather is good, yes, I'll go along with you. Well, that happened to be a terrible day, and he didn't come. But he called me a day or two later, and... I asked him what his knowledge was of appraisal, one thing and another, and he said he'd been doing it for 2 years. And I said, well, young man, I don't think you're the man for this job. You know, I wouldn't want to go in and appraise someone's property with my knowledge of what I've put into this and all, you know. I think it just takes a little bit more. So now here it is a year, and we've never been condemned. But we've had people here running in and out of the house and all the buildings and making appraisals, but And we're supposed to be out in April. Disperse a dairy herd, an Angus herd, flock of sheep, and ourselves and everything. By April, no money. Now, if that's the American way, it isn't any wonder we have protesting in this country. If I were younger, I think I would be a real... had this been done to me in this fashion. It just isn't right, and I have a lot of young men working for drilling companies and for gas companies who stop here, and they ask me, do you have to go, Mary? And I say yes, and then I tell them, are you buying property? And they say they are, and I said, well, brother, listen to this then. Because I'm too old, you know, to do much about it now. But these young people, they better get on the ball and get the right people in the government or get these laws changed or something. Because you really have no security whatsoever. Do you think I have any security? The way I presented this to you, at my age, I'm 75 now, and I'm supposed to be happy to make Weston free of floods, and they aren't trying to help me a bit. There's no one ever tried to help me a bit. So, I'm just real bitter. I really am. And in the flood area, we own property on West 2nd Street. And Judge Fury is our brother-in-law. Mrs. Fury is Bill's sister. Okay. The reason I feel sure that he thinks that this is the best thing that ever happened to Lewis County is his home and property there is never going to flood again. I don't really think he cares anything. He says it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened in Lewis County, but he doesn't go on to say for him, you know. Sure, if the water doesn't get up in the house. But now, the water hasn't been in that house since 50. Now, that's 34 years. What's his gripe?
What about your property on 2nd Street?
Was it stays rented all the time. Why? Because it's in a good area there, and the federal government offered flood insurance. Okay, what do you got to worry about? And those people, they just clean up, move up, and it's where the traffic goes, it's where the business is, and so what? I used to stop at an antique shop in Parkersburg, and every time the water got up, she said she had to move everything. But I said, well, I just said to her, why do you stay? And she said, because this is where the business is. Says, I can afford to move it up, you know. And I think this whole thing is eventually going to be a sad thing for them. I don't know too much about recreation because I don't indulge in recreation. My pastime is hard work, I think. But the type of persons who came here through here during deer season, I don't know what they had to offer the economy of this area. They came loaded. They stayed loaded. They...
You mean they were drinking?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Probably had their guns loaded too.
Yes. That's right. And I just don't know what kind of recreation has to offer to a community. So I just hope I live long enough to see the result of this thing so that I can sort of hand it back to some of these people that were for it.
I guess that's been the experience over around Sutton.
Yes, in Grafton. Now you look at the roadway they are building over here, and all the roadways they're building. Did you ever go over to Tiger Lake?
No.
Through Grafton? Well, you'd actually take your life in your hands after you cross the bridge and start out into the lake area. They didn't build any of these fancy roads for that. I can't help but think that this is all a big get-rich thing for the contractors. Who knows? It may come out.
I've seen more guardrail in this end of the county than I've seen in whole other counties in West Virginia. You wouldn't find this much guardrail in all of McDowell County, I don't guess.
Mm-hmm. It's, well, I don't know. To build a road like they're building into this thing, I just don't know. Then here's another thing they do to you. They come through and they take all of the buildings. All the buildings on our farm, that's where the survey, they did that. Well, so what have you to fight back for? I mean, then when they come and explain to you what they're taking, they're leaving you with 50 acres of a knob way on one side of your farm being split by the road. And then on the other side, you're left with 142 acres of what they say is worthless land, we'll see. And taking all the best for roadway and recreation.
You mean the water has not been actually come up on this property?
Do you think the water will ever come up on this property?
I don't know.
I hope that you will come back when it's finished and see for yourself.
The water isn't going to touch it.
Well, how could it?
We don't think it will, but we're not.
We're not engineers, but we have lived here for 40 years. And if you have water from a flood, you know, like if it rains quite a bit, it's up and you go out in 2 or 3 hours, it's gone. Of course, I understand now they're going to impound that water, but it's spread out over such an area. And wouldn't you think, just from a common man's viewpoint, that what with evaporation everything concerned, that you're going to lose a tremendous amount of water that way?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's, if you just sit down and just look at it from your point of view, not a knowledgeable point of view, but just from what you have observed over 40 years, you just wonder what this thing is really all about. And other than flood control for what is in Weston, where have they to expand when they cover up all this land? Where do they have to expand? I think that they made a survey one time. And I was told by a member of the of the higher-ups in the Citizens Bank that Lewis County was in real trouble. There was no place for expansion. Well, they're covering up their expandable land, you know. It could have been, you know, for housing and who knows. And we offered, all of us offered, land, all of us said we would give it to make these multi-purpose dams like they have out on in the Polk Creek area, and they said it wasn't feasible. Well, if you've got people wanting to build a thing like this with all the money and the politics they have behind them, there isn't any need to talk feasibility, is there? No, you're whipped before you suggest it. So that's my story of the Stonewall Jackson Dam. I just, we've lost a lot of good people in this area from heartbreak.
What do you mean?
They died. They lost their mind. They did. I can tell you two men who actually lost their mind. They just died cursing the Stonewall Jackson Dam. You know, I mean, that was just all that was on their mind. Yeah. And then another man who just, his attitude was just, he just damned the dam continuously. Lindenthal. He had a heart condition, of course, but no question about it, it hastened it. And then another marvelous lady who just didn't think she could leave. And her husband found her dead, so ahead of time, I'm sure.
Was that Eleanor?
Eleanor. Because I talked to her 3 or 4 days before she died, and she just couldn't imagine. After seeing how the Corps allowed a certain element of people just to come in and tear down things in a non-respectful way of all of the heritage back of all these buildings they were tearing down, you know, just tear it down, take it a few miles away and throw it down. Everybody just trying to get something for nothing, you know, out of it. And she just couldn't imagine how she could have her home torn down board by board that way. So I think just gave up. Well, I'm too mean to give up. I'm 75, but I do hope that I can live to see what benefits are going to derive from it.
What do you think the benefits will be?
Well, I wouldn't want to say on tape just what I think it will be, but I can't see how it's going to be what they've painted it to be, right? And if it does, it will be so many years coming that those who have pressed so hard for it, they aren't going to be around to see what it is anyway. And I'm just wondering if they are taking into consideration what the younger generation would have liked it to be. You know, there are certain types of people who, back of all this pride, this municipal pride and everything, there's just that spark of greed yet. Personal greed, you know? I think that exists. So.
Most of those people have so much already. What are they going to do with
it? Well. To go back to it, I think that the government should reimburse a person. I think I told one member of the organization, and I don't recall now just who he was, that my theory was that they should have come in here and appraised and settled with everyone before any of this was started, and give us the 3 or 4 years then to have relocated ourselves in a fashion that we didn't have to feel like we were being evicted, you know? And even though we know we're going to have to replace ourselves, then we would have known, we'd known how much, and certainly it would have cost them a lot less, I think. You know how property has risen in the last, let's say, 10 years, all right? And the cost of building the thing has just gone up tremendously. But the government doesn't have to worry about that sort of thing, okay? But they must have to worry about something, as slow as they are about paying people once they even get the claim processed and you go to court and you're given a certain amount of money. It's 2 or 3 years before you get that. I know. 2 or 3 years.
What stage in that process are you at right now?
We haven't even been condemned yet. Though we have a letter stating what we are going to be, what the government is offering us. But we never received that check. We have never been actually condemned. And utilities come to drive stakes. They even know that we haven't been condemned yet, but they ask for the privilege of doing it, which I say, well, so what? you know, we are going to be condemned pretty soon. Well, we thought we would get what they have offered us probably in November. No, it didn't come. December. It's gone now. We received a letter from our lawyer the other day, and he thinks it will be in January. But he still says, now keep on keeping in mind that we have until April to get out. But, you know, I just would like to know who you could really talk to in the government to just simply bring them and show them and tell them what has gone on here. And I don't really think that the government would want us to be treated this way. I'm sure the people don't approve of the way they treated Mrs. Hefner. Our milk sanitarian, we call him the milk inspector, was here about a week or two after this all happened. And he goes up in the panhandle, I think maybe does a dairy or two in Maryland, you know, up in the Oakland area. And those people had seen that, and they were questioning him about what is going on. They couldn't believe that the government would do a thing. So certainly there must be some mistake, that they wouldn't put a person in chains in this country. And he said that he guessed that's the way it was. He didn't actually see her, but said he knew that it was so because, you know. So if we, I can't imagine, you know. I don't know. I am perplexed and sad and disappointed. I really am. We've really worked hard. Even people I see, are you still working as hard as you did, Mary? Yeah, doing the same thing, you know. I like it. It's my own choosing. But even when you do that in this day and age, when there are so many people seeking everything for free, then you'd think that your government would actually appreciate a person who has given 40 years to his life and never asked for anything, see? That's the way I think the government should handle things. But
do you think this dam, as much as it costs and everything, fits in with the current administration's idea about cutting back and saving money?
Well, have we really cut back and cut back any yet?
Well, they're talking about cuts.
They're talking about it. But it's just like every representative from every angle of it says, just wait until we get, you know, in our different committees, till wait till we get there. It's just it'll be this and that and something else. So.
But they don't have enough money to keep everybody on Social Security, so they're cutting people off Social mm-hmm. Security. But they're spending $250 million on a recreation area. It doesn't,
that's right.
It doesn't, mm-hmm. I can't make it add up in my own mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I look at it with Social Security, they abused it. They added things onto it that should never have been tacked on to Social Security, and then it would have been a good thing. But when you just simply send, now I know of one child that was put through college with on Social Security, bought a car. Now, I think the original persons who wrote that, just like the Constitution, they're just reading things into this that those men would fall, well, turn over and hope to die, I think, you know. I just don't think. All this thing about your constitutional rights, if they'd have been abused like we have, you'd have had a right to talk about constitutional rights. But some of these things they put under that category, it's sickening to me. Yeah, my urge is just to...
Do you think your constitutional rights have been violated then in this case?
I just don't think that you should just run for an alibi for everything. I think that you should discuss the thing, how it applies to each individual. Now, there are persons who have bought up land. How could they be abusing their origin, their constitutional rights, when maybe 4 or 5 years ago they bought something. Now they're screaming just as loud as anybody else, you know, when probably in the back of their mind they were hoping to get undercover on this deal and all that sort of thing, you know. And I just...
We heard mention of your brother-in-law as having bought property in the area.
Did he?
And then reselling it very fast.
Mm-hmm.
For the profit.
Well, never do for me to get into that. As far as I'm concerned, he's an SOB. Well, we got rid of him, didn't we?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we did. We've got a real man in there now. Yes. We have a real man, I think. When a man who has been a state police and understands all of that angle of it, then he decides that he doesn't want to spend all his life. Then he goes into law school and he comes out and is accepted by a very outstanding law firm in Buchanan, Hines and Koontz, and then goes on and without wavering just takes over. I think it's marvelous we have young men like that, that people really realize that's what we need, right? Because if he walked in here now, you'd just be, you know, just like he'd known you all your life. That's the kind of fellow he is, yeah, like that, you know. Hi, I hope to see you again, you know, that kind of a fellow. And he's very intelligent. So.
One other question about the this whole transitional period. Do you have gas on this property, and what's happening to your
We don't own the mineral rights, but in regard to the coal, we will receive half the benefit of the coal. They allow the landowner for stripping rights half of the value of the coal. So.
Do you know if they've done that with everybody? Or is that just
no, that's the law now. Mm-hmm. That's the law now.
I heard some complaints from other people. They will get nothing separate for the mineral rights.
Well, maybe they didn't go into court. Maybe they didn't have core drilling done. We did that. It's expensive. But if you're going to fight them, you have to have a weapon to fight them with. And so what? We really, we knew the coal was here. And, well, I don't know if I should go into this or not. I called the Joneses who own the coal. And head of Bridgeport Bank. Law firm in Clarksburg, and asked him if he would like to go into it with me, and we'd go, you know, share the cost of the core drilling, as I thought it would benefit him as much as it would me, certainly. And he was very enthusiastic, and he was going to get back to me, but he never did. And I feel now he's going to reap the benefit of that, and he'll get a letter from me when it's all settled, finding out what I think of him. You know, me, the farmer.
Push her aside.
Yeah, I'm paying to try to save my hide, and he's sitting down there doing everybody he can at the Bridgeport Bank. I hope you promise. I don't care. He knows this is true. He knows that I called him, and he was going to go right along with me, but I suppose I didn't get the outfit that he was affiliated with, you know. And well, I'm sure I didn't. My lawyers were Stepped on Johnson. And, that isn't Jones, Williams, Weston Jones, is it? So, well.
Tell me a little bit about your own people. Who your daddy was and where they lived.
Well, I really have no roots in this. I'm from... Both my grandfathers are naturalized citizens. One German, one French. Mm-hmm. Right? You'd wonder why I'd be the scrapper, wouldn't you? Well, okay. Then my husband's people. my husband's people are the Fleshers in the Lewis County history. It used to be Flesherville, Weston was, you know. And the Fleshers owned where the courthouse is, the post office, and all of that in there. And where the state hospital is. Now, we still own land along with the Furies on either side of the state hospital to the Coxtown Bridge and out to the Pope Creek Bridge on either side there. Well, when the Commonwealth of Virginia decided to build the courthouse and take all that land, they told Mr. Flesher that, they dealt with him the same way that we're being dealt with. They didn't give him anything. Matt Holt told me, he said, Mary Bill's just going to go through with the same thing as his ancestors went through. He's going to get taken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can read the history. I think a Smith wrote the history of Lewis County. And it tells all about it in there. So they were going to evict him, and he told them that he didn't have, that the only hay he had was for his cow that, and he would have to keep his cow over there. So he took him 3 years to feed his hay out over there. That's how he got to stay on his land as long as he did. Can you imagine that? So he had to figure that one out. But he finally said then that he finally moved on the side of the river where the state hospital is now up, and the original old home just burned a few years ago up there. And he said he would never cross the river again. They took it, they could have it. And he went by horseback and buggy and to Jane Lou, in the Jane Lou area, and bought his feed and grocery. He never went back over. He had it with that outfit. So that's the way we feel about this. When we get out here, we're not coming back. We've never been down the road to see the destruction. But we've had people tell us they just came that far and turned around and went back, said, I couldn't bear to look at it anymore. And so that's the Fleshers. Well, then on Bill's mother's side, she was the Kitson, and they came from England here, and Kitsonville's name for them. And they owned Kitsonville. And you know where Kitsonville is downtown there as you come up the old 19th through there. And Mr. Kitson was supervised and built the state hospital. He was a stonemason. That was his. And when Bill's mother's parents came here, they had two children in England. They were expecting another one, and she was born on Ellis Island while they were still in quarantine. And we have all the history of all their people. Really very interesting. And then the Aspinalls owned a lot of other property where we own where the... Are you familiar with anything in Weston around there? Well, the Hope Gas Company and all, as you go out Poke Creek out there, behind where the judge lives and all that. We are still on all that and all the hill out there. And we have never sold off lots or anything, so we just thought in bitterness here a while back that we would just let a big oil and gas outfit drill wells on it. How about they're going to do exploratory drilling on it? Maybe we'll get rich after all. Well, a woman called me yesterday and she said, well, they're going to drill wells back in the residential area here. And I said, ma'am, how long have you been there? And she told me how long she'd been there. And I said, well, all these years we really have paid tax on that and received no benefit from it. You know, it's just like it was. It's just land. I said, would you rather, we've talked this over. I said, would you rather we sold it off in lots and people put trailers on there, built inexpensive homes, and you had all that to contend with? Or would you like to have nice gas wells and with all the restrictions there is on drilling now, once the drilling is over with and it's reclaimed, wouldn't you rather have a two nice gas wells back of you than a lot of hubbub. How about that, would you? And she hesitated a while. I said, come to think of it, I believe I would. Well, I said, okay, that's the way we felt about it. So, well. But Bill says I lay awake nights thinking about terrible things. But, I really have a, as the judge once said, I really have a criminal life. At the table, we used to discuss things, you know, and I'd call his hand on a few things. So he says, you have a criminal mind.
If I had never seen this country before that's being taken for this project, how would you describe it to me? How would you describe the way this community was?
Just typical, wild, wonderful West Virginia. And I mean, it's just like when you come off the interstate and you would go down through this valley and you would people, you know, now like people will stop and say, well, I just couldn't believe that this was here, you know, this much level land and all the nice buildings and cattle and everything. And then you go on down and there's cattle farms and there's cattle farm, you know. And it's just unbelievable. And same way over in the Roanoke area, and then over on Little Skin Creek, it was real nice too. And
good people.
Yes, been there a long time. And then on up here, we have people that have been here for generations. And when this whole thing was proposed, and just a year or two back, the little village wasn't going to be bothered, you know. And then somebody got the bright idea. I never did ask, because I thought, well, if they're going to do this kind of thing, why ask? But then they go up in this little village, and they take every house out, and the little church, which is really very nice for our way above, you know, what you'd think the community could support, what could do. Take it all the way through up in there. And all those people now are in the process of tearing down their homes and moving someplace. And they don't know for what, you know. If the water got up there, you know, I mean. Now the one boy, before he built this new home, he went to them and asked them if he was safe to build the home. And they said, yes, go ahead. You know, now then he sold his home and it's been moved away. It was a nice little modern home. And he's gone to his mother-in-law's, clipped the head of the creek, as we say, in the woods. He's hoping he'll get to stay there. But, you know, everybody has been misinformed, and I call that a form of abuse. If the person who is giving out the information doesn't have the qualifications for giving out that information, then he should just refer them to someone else, you know. But instead of that, they believed that information that they got from the local core office, and then they go ahead and he went ahead and did this. And
well, that's evidently the kind of situation that faced you. And you moved over here.
Same thing. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I think that you could check on that, and that is very true. Very true.
How many years ago?
40. 40 years.
That's when you moved here?
Yes. Uh-huh. We owned what was called the Rhodes Farm. There were a lot of those people. And it boiled down to one maiden lady who lived there. And the Corps kept that home as a, we had that, well, we had that house restored. It was absolutely beautiful. And the stairway was so nice that the man who did the work, he actually took glass and did those little spindles over there. And the curve in it and everything. It was so nice, and the floors and everything. And They were going to keep that. They bought it from a Mrs. Gooding, and I think she's still in Weston. And they were going to keep that. But now, would you believe, as a historical site, that they didn't protect it, and they say that people have just gone in there and simply destroyed it. Now, would you believe that they...
Now that I've become familiar with what's happened to everybody else around here.
Mm-hmm, And they can't wait for you to get out until their scavengers are there. Because Mrs. Butcher told me that they didn't get all of their things out of the basement, and a lot of the things really didn't have a monetary value, but a sentimental value. Of the various members of the family would say that, "March, I don't have..." Now, Mrs. Butcher is Jack Linger's sister, and they lived on down here. And they said, "I don't have room to store this. Could have put in your basement." You know how it is? Maybe a coffee grinder or old Christmas tree trimmings that people would love to have now, the antique thing, you know. And she said to her husband, they were old, you know, and they thought, "Well, we can come back tomorrow and get it." And she insisted they should carry on. But she finally gave in to her husband, and the next day they came and he was gone.
There's one thing that